This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone
with the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al,
Zane,
and Brian.
Trangler School of Under Podcast. I came up with two names. And just kind of connecting the dots are just people that I think I would kind of like. The first one is I'm going to murder this name. I apologize. Izzy Abanaconda from Pittsburgh. Now, I'm going a lot off of Dane Brugler is a terrific draft guy, and he put out a whole draft book that's fantastic. And I did a lot of research there, and I've been doing research in other places on it. Now, Izzy is a running back for Pittsburgh, and he had a phenomenal day. They said he ran in the mid 4.3s at his pro day. He had a 41-inch vertical jump and a 10.8-inch broad jump. Now, statistically for him at Pittsburgh, he had a very strong year there. He had, and I'm gonna get this for you right now, Izzy's stats. He ran 239 times for 1,431 yards, an average of 6 yards a carry. And now Pittsburgh had a very pass-heavy offense with Kenny Pickett the year before, and they dedicated more to the run game in 2022, and Izzy responded with a career year. And he was second in FBS in all-purpose yards per game at 164.1 per game. So with him, too, he had some big games. He had a game where he rushed for 320 yards and 6 rushing TDs, and the only other Power 5 running backs to do that in the last 25 years were LaDainian Tomlinson and Ricky Williams. So that's pretty good company. And he's a guy that I think the Niners could target. I've seen with the running backs, you see that they can go all over the place. You never know. Other than Robinson, who's going to be a top pick, definitely in the first round. You never know when these running backs are going to go because people wait on running backs. So I could see him lasting until the third round, the fourth round. Maybe he's somebody that is there late for the Niners and they can get. But he's a name that I liked. And the other name, now, I lived in Syracuse for a few years, so I paid attention to Syracuse and the Orange and kind of liked seeing what was happening with this guy. Sean Tucker, a running back for Syracuse, is someone I'm actually quite a big fan of. And he was terrific at Syracuse. So he was a 3-year starter at Syracuse. He was the featured running back in a zone-based scheme. And he kind of put himself on the NFL radar because he had 1,496 rushing yards in 2021. And he joined Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, and Floyd Little as the only Syracuse running backs to ever earn All-American recognition. And he's patient, inside-outside zone. He's a quick-hit type runner. So he's the type of dude who is going to get one cut, and he's going to go. And he's versatile. He can block. He was a true three-down back for Syracuse. And he played a variety of roles. So in schemes and alignments, Syracuse ran him out of the I formation. They ran him out of the shotgun, full house formations, out of man gap, inside outside zone schemes. They used him as a runner. They used him as a pass catcher. They used him in pass protection. They used him as a lead blocker. Like he was motioned out as receiver at some point. And he looks like a good receiver and somebody they threw the ball to down the field. So now he's projected from what I've seen anyway, fifth, sixth round. So he's a guy I thought just with that zone scheme background and the one cut and go, I thought he'd be a really good fit for the Niners. And I believe the Niners have talked to him. So those two names at running back, I think, are someone that you should keep an eye on. And I really do believe that the Niners are going to take one at some point. And I don't think they have faith, not that they don't have faith in Elijah Mitchell on the field. I don't know that they have faith in Mitchell to stay healthy. And it's just, what are you going to do? You feel terrible for the guy. He's not trying to get hurt, but he's hurt. He's been hurt constantly. He's not somebody you can rely on. And you have to, the Niners, I feel, are kind of a little bit more top heavy than they have been in previous years, which is fine. It's tough to keep role players who are going to go off and make money elsewhere because they played so well. DJ Jones, and El Shaair, guys like that who played so well on your team. Eventually, these guys are going to get paid. So people leave. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, you know, I know it was a sort of different circumstance, but there was some depth there with those two guys. Those two guys left. They're not going to stick around on one-year deals with the Niners and make minimum money, but then go somewhere else and make more money. So we'll see how that goes. The second position that I think the Niners are going to look at on offense is tight end. So the reason I think that they're going to look at tight end is because, one, George Kittle is going to be 30 this year. Now, Kittle is arguably the best tight end in 49ers history. He is absolutely phenomenal. But I think a couple things here. One, they need another threat that can really threaten defenses at the tight end position, to me. Someone who can catch some passes. And I don't know that I expect a rookie tight end to come in and catch 50 balls. I don't think that. But somebody that can maybe give you 20, you know, catch or two a game. They weren't getting that from Dwelly and Warner. And those two guys are still on the roster, but I think they need to upgrade there, especially from Dwelly as a second tight end. And when you look at the tight ends in this draft, it's a super deep draft for tight ends. I think they're going to go early and often. It's a great draft for tight ends. And when you're looking at these tight ends, you can't really look at what they did in college on the numbers. If you remember what Kittle did, Kittle in his career at Iowa, in his career, had 48 catches, 737 yards, and 10 touchdowns. In his senior year when they drafted him, 22 catches, 314 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So he is not a guy who was super prolific in college, but you don't necessarily draft for that. You draft for fit, and you draft for what they could be in the NFL. That's the big thing. So that's what they're going to be looking for, the Niners, in this draft at tight end. Now, who do I think would be the perfect tight end and that I would love for them to draft? Sam Laporta out of Iowa. He's a guy that I think, another Iowa product, like I said, I think he would be absolutely phenomenal for the Niners. I think he does everything you'd want him to do. I also think there's no chance in hell he's going to be there with the Niners pick. I think he's going to be a second round pick. And unless, I don't know, they love him that much where they trade up for him, but I think Laporta is going to be gone. So some other names that I've heard, one is Luke, I'm going to probably screw up his name too, Luke Schoonmaker from Michigan. Now, he again is somebody on the surface that you look at and you think, okay, here's a guy who can really come in and maybe do a good job here. He plays under Jim Harbaugh, obviously. He was a two-year starter at Michigan, and he lined up primarily inline wing and occasionally in the slot. So he's an efficient route runner. He catches balls well. But here's why I think Schumacher may not be the pick. He's limited after the catch, according to Dane Brugler's assessment of him. He only had four of his 52 receptions the past four seasons went for 25 plus yards. So that's something that I don't know necessarily. Is he going to fit in with the Niners with that? I think he's going to be a good player, but do they want more in the passing game in terms of yards after the catch from him? I don't know. Maybe. So he's a guy that I think you could possibly see, but that's the one thing that stuck out to me was the yards after the catch. If he's not somebody who's prolific like that, is he someone that they're going to go after? I don't know. Another name to look out for that I've heard or kind of connecting the dots is Will Mallory from Miami. Now, Will had a great Senior Bowl. He graded out 80.7 by Pro Football Focus. And that was actually the fifth highest grade for any player in the game. And he is generally in the 10 to 14 range in terms of tight end for where they can go, for where he might go. So he's not someone that you're necessarily going to say, well, okay, he's going to be a second round pick. I think he's going to be around for a while. And he's somebody, again, that I think might be a good fit for the Niners just for what he can do in his last 2 years at Miami. 30 receptions, 347 yards in 2021. 2022, 43 catches, 538 yards, and 3 TDs. I think he's another versatile guy who could be a receiver for them. Definitely someone to keep an eye on. Here's another name that I'm considering that I think might be a fit that I, this name I haven't heard a lot, and that's Brenton Strange from Penn State University. So he did have a visit with the Niners, but I, unless I've missed it, I haven't seen him mock to them too much. Another versatile, consistent blocker. He can block well in multiple formats. He could line up as a receiver. And here's the key thing that I think in his scouting assessment that I like. He has the potential to be a better pro than college player. And that's always really interesting to me. Because again, that's what we were talking about with Kittle, where he just had the potential to get, if he gets into the right system, he could be a terrific pro. So with Strange, he had 70 catches in his career, 755 yards, 11 TDs, very similar to Kittle throughout the career. In his senior year in 2022, 32 catches, 362 yards, 5 touchdowns. So very similar stats to Kittle. And I thought he was a very interesting person to keep an eye on there.